I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
Episode 6, Pop Culture Meltdown. Chris Libertini, Lou Pellegrino. How are you today, Lou?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
You look fantastic.
Oh,
I'm fantastic.
Thank you.
Got to get right to it. We have Kevin Burkhardt coming up in a little bit, and we had a fantastic conversation with him, did we not?
It was a nice stroll through memory lane with good old KB.
Hell yeah. Speaking of strolls through memory lane, recently this past week, we both grew up on Sesame Street, did we not?
Sure, absolutely.
And the guys on there.
Hey, Bert.
Little Bert and Ernie.
Hey, Bert. Hey, how you doing, Bert? Hey, Bert.
They came out as being gay this week.
Hey, Bert.
Hey, Aaron.
But did they really? This was something that has been talked about for years.
Mm-hmm.
For years.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to be gay. I believe they were going to start talking about diseases and teaching children about HIV and AIDS, and one of them was supposed to contract the disease, and that never came to fruition because I'm sure
Thank
it probably
God.
Never got past the censors or someone just thought about it and said this might not be the best thing. But, I mean, who cares?
Right. I don't
this
care.
This is 2018. Mm-hmm. If they're gay, I'm so happy if they're gay.
Yeah, good for them. But it's crazy because, you know,
we're talking about puppets, by the way.
Right, you're talking about puppets.
But in order to educate people the right way and youth and everything, I mean, look, I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, too, but it's funny when, you know, the writers come out and they say, well, you know, this was modeled after my boyfriend, whom I love, and then Sesame Street comes out and goes, no, that's bullshit. You know, it's like, you know, you can't even look at it as like it's a George Lucas thing, because George Lucas wrote Star Wars.
Right.
So it's his jam. You know, Lucasfilms doesn't come out and go, everything George Lucas said is bullshit.
Right.
It's kind of like separation of church and state.
And I never met Jim Henson. I don't know what his thoughts on the matter were. But from everything you read, Jim Henson was a kind, nice man, talking about inclusion and keeping everybody involved. And I think he would have been okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have been more than okay with it. And who knows if a conversation was ever had. Look, I remember growing up and watching Sesame Street. I don't think I knew what gay was.
You didn't.
Until your teens, maybe.
Easily.
But think of how someone who is actually gay feels when they know from a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to really explain it to someone who doesn't know what it is like to be that. And I think if they have the proper learning tools to teach young children about, hey, it's okay to be whatever, that Bert and Ernie would be great examples. I used to see the show and think they're best friends. And I understand that some people will say they're best friends, but no one knows the true meaning of their friendship, the true meaning of their love, the true meaning of whatever Bert and Ernie have. And we're making them human right now.
Mm-hmm.
These are puppets. But I think that if this is true and that Bert and Ernie are gay, go for it.
Yeah.
Teach. Educate.
Do it. Sesame Workshop disagrees with you, Lou, and they say, quote, as we've always said, Bert and Ernie are best friends. They're created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves. Even though they're identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics, as most Muppets do, they remain puppets and do not have a sexual orientation. That's an exact quote.
I'm reading that quote, too, from Sesame Workshop, at Sesame Workshop on Twitter, but that's the great thing about puppets. You could turn puppets into anything that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to use a puppet to teach about racism, you can. If you want, and I believe Avenue Q, the Broadway play, does that.
Tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Okay?
Yep.
Look, I'm not sitting there and saying that Bert and Ernie have to, you know, come out and be a certain way or not be what you're used to seeing on Sesame Street,
right?
But I think it's definitely fine to teach children about inclusion, about differences, about
how to get a paperclip collection together.
Correct, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know I haven't watched Sesame Street in years, so I don't know how the characters evolved, who's new and who's not.
They're on HBO now.
But you knew.
Right.
Bert and Ernie were the best friends that did anything for each other, gay, straight, what have you. You just knew they were best friends and they loved each other.
Yep.
Okay? Big Bird and Mr. Snuffleupagus, they were best friends. Oscar the Grouch and Grungetta were boyfriend and girlfriend, and he had Slimy, his worm. And then you had some of the other human aspects of it. I mean, growing up, Maria and Luis got married.
That's right.
Mr. Hooper dies.
Yep.
They teach you about death.
Yeah.
Then there was Gordon. There was Bob McGrath, who sang, "Who are the people in your neighborhood?" They're the people that you meet when you're walking down the street. Right.
In your neighborhood.
These are lessons that at 41 years old, you sit there and say, wow, I can still recite and remember these things.
Yes. Always. Kermit, and for the rest of your life, even
right.
when you have children or your friends' children or whatever it is.
Yep. Kermit the Frog would make appearances. There was Polly Dawn or whatever her name was? Yep. Polly Dart. No, it was Prairie Dawn.
Dawn. Yep. Because
Polly Darton was a Dolly Parton caricature.
I was just going to say that.
I mean, these are things that I remember growing up. And I mean, if you were to tell me that Bert and Ernie, when I was 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 years old, okay, where I'm a little bit older and could comprehend what it means, I'm not going to sit there and not like Bert and Ernie anymore because they are in love with each other. They're
right.
puppets, and they're being used as symbols to educate, and mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well, I appreciate it, too, and I just think, you know, even growing up on this, you know, when you're a kid, you don't think about this stuff.
No,
you
that's
don't
exactly
think about it.
It
at all. You're not sitting there as a 10-year-old kid or an 8-year-old or a 6-year-old, and you're going, boy, I've got to go watch Fox News later because they're talking about Bert and Ernie. No, you're going, I'm going to play with my toys, I'm going to wet my pants, and then I'm going to go to sleep.
Right. I just...
You know what I'm saying?
I see sometimes... You know, in hockey, there's a term where it's called picking your spots. When to make a hit, when to drop the gloves. You pick your spots. Okay, you do the same thing in arguments. Am I going to really fight this battle really hard, or am I going to let this one go, but the next time I need to really put my foot down, I'm going to. You're picking your spots. This is one of those arguments where it's like, really? This is what we're going to argue about?
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is educating. That is the point of this. We did not have these special tools and ways of reaching people by doing stuff. That's just the way it is.
I agree. And it's Frank Oz came out and he said, you know, he's the guy who created Bert, you
mm-hmm.
know, and he said that, you know, he created Bert. He knows who he is. And he's saying right now that Bert and Ernie are not gay. And the writer is saying that he is gay. And Frank Oz, who created it, comes out and said he's not gay. But come on.
Well,
what are we doing here?
You're going to have, it's going to split down the middle. It's 50-50. They've been talking about this for years. I remember this in my late teens. That this was going to be something that was talked about on Sesame Street, whether to make Bert and Ernie a couple.
Of course.
So.
Let's get right to this real quick. Drake is now dating again. Drake came out with the Kiki, Do You Love Me?
Hey, wait a minute. Sid's in here. You should ask Sid. Does Sid care?
Sid, talk
Does
to
Sid
me.
Care about this?
We'll bring you up. Sid Rosenberg has a show. It's actually, Sid's now got two shows.
I do.
You got,
I'm very famous.
Sid's got 8 shows now.
Right. I got like 3 because I'm on this goddamn show every single week, by the way. This tremendous program.
Are you getting paid?
For your show?
Yeah.
You don't get paid. How am I going to get paid?
I get paid in what? Soda.
Yeah, and ice. But I love you guys. You're both very talented and Jewish, so I can't go wrong here.
I'm not Jewish.
You're not?
No.
Then I'm off the freaking show. Bert and Ernie are gay. Everybody knows it. Stop.
Yep.
But whatever. It's fine.
Yep.
So what? By the way, if you mix up Bert and Ernie, you get Bernie.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Who's your radio partner?
My
for
gay
God's
radio
sakes?
Partner. Yeah, yeah.
He kind of looks like Bert a little.
Bit, and I kind of look like one of those guys too. But
orange.
But I heard the same thing when I was a kid. They were gay.
Right.
But I doesn't mean it's accurate because we both heard about it. We were kids.
No,
right.
I think it was Pharrell who told me the first time that was the case. And if anybody would know Bert and Ernie were gay, it would be Scott Pharrell.
That's a good point.
that's the guy to turn to.
Oh boy.
Nobody's got a gay doll like Scotty.
That's true. Right.
So yep, his friends in the NHL are homos. Can you say that on this show?
I don't know.
You can pretty much say anything on this
show,
Sidney.
Allegedly. I was always told that.
You know, Lou.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Just say that no matter what.
Right, exactly. Right. So we were also talking about, we were just about to get into this Drake.
Am I going to the rest of the show now?
Two more seconds.
Okay. Yeah,
one second.
Quickly.
So we're talking
Botox
about.
Botox is bothering me.
So you look tremendous, Sidney. I don't know why you need Botox. Come on.
You don't look a day over 60.
Seriously. 62 on a good day. He looks like he's just got off the beach in Boca.
Like Lindsay Nelson.
Look at you, Lindsay Nelson.
Yeah. So what's the question about Drake?
Drake, 31 years old. Kiki, do you
love me.
Went out with J-Lo, went out with Rihanna. Yeah. He's been around,
great
right?
Great looking guy. Owns a piece, I think, of the Toronto Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. And he's Jewish, by
and
the way.
And he's Jewish.
Too. Right.
So good
that
yontif,
happens to be true. That
good
is true.
Yontif to Jake, to Drake. And right. He's now going out with an 18-year-old woman. So now, that's a 13-year-old age difference. And he has this thing in his rap songs, and he says, half my age plus seven, which is what you're supposed to do for dating younger ladies. Now he's going out with an 18-year-old girl. What are your thoughts, Sydney?
My thoughts are, it must be really good to be Drake.
That, yeah.
I mean, are you mad about it? Or I've got a 14-year-old daughter, so the thought of 4 years from now, Drake putting the wood to my kid is so really disgusting. Maybe I shouldn't have phrased it that way.
I don't know.
Yeah, it really does nauseate me. But the truth is, if she, you know, a lot of 18-year-old girls look like they're 25, and not my daughter, of course, and they've been around a little bit, and if you can score something like that, then good for you. I mean, us three ain't going to do that.
No.
Hate the player, hate the game is the term, right?
Right.
That's
That's so we can sit around and go, oh, what a piece of garbage. Who would do something like that? And the answer is any one of us given the opportunity.
That's a good point. What does Chris Rock say? You're only as faithful as your options.
I didn't say that. You said that, or Chris Rock.
Chris Rock said
it. I didn't say that.
Chris Rock.
He's
Chris
not
Rock.
Married. Drake, it's fine.
It's a good point.
So this is what this show is about, whether Bernie and what is it now? Ernie and Bert are gay,
yep.
And Drake.
And Drake is dating an 18-year-old girl.
What else do you talk about on this show? I'm curious.
We got Kevin Burkhardt coming up. We're going to talk about sports stars. That's how he started. Like he would narrate or broadcast.
Play by play of a video game.
There you go.
Oh, he's the best.
So tremendous.
Cute kid, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Forget it. He's got a whole thing going on.
Yeah.
But that's the podcast. We talk about pop culture.
Right.
We talk to you about football. Actually, we want to get you on next week, not talking
about
football.
I can't do next
football.
Week.
Okay, you're very busy.
I'm going to be on
another
Bill
Jewish
Burr's
holiday.
Podcast next week.
On who?
Bill Burr.
That's pretty tremendous.
Oh, excellent.
It's not true.
Oh, I thought you were serious. Bill's one of my favorite comedians.
Okay, first of all, I'm so much more famous than Bill Burr.
Oh, I think he's a great comedian.
He's fine. I mean, I can, if I wanted to, I can do Corolla Monday,
look,
Mark Maron Tuesday, Bill Burr Wednesday, and Pellegrino and Libertini on Thursday.
But
why
you're
Thursday?
On, yeah.
Well,
but,
Friday, oh, yeah.
Well, because that's when he fits us into his busy
right,
schedule.
Right. But you know. I'll tell you what, if you want to laugh, Bill Burr ripping the Philadelphia fans
fantastic.
Apart.
You know,
that rant
you know I know
fantastic.
About that.
Oh, you
because I hate the Philadelphia fans.
Course,
in my book.
Of course.
That is a great rant out of
I
Bill.
Used, it is.
Yes.
Best. I used to, dude, honestly, before I met Sid, I used to listen to him on the Sports Guys every morning because
which one? Scott Kaplan or Craig
with
Carton?
Kaplan.
Okay.
With you and Kaplan.
Right.
And I used to remember driving because Howard's breaks were 20 minutes. So I would listen to Howard. Then when he'd go to break, I'd go and listen to the Sports Guys. And then eventually I would never go back to Howard. I would just stay with the Sports Guys with Kaplan and with Sid. And I used to laugh because every time Sid used to go, you know, in the Bronx, the Yantropolitans used
yes,
to call them the Yantropolitans.
I still do. No, I still do.
Okay.
I still do. The New York Hockey Rangers, the Yantropolitans, yeah. The Jetropolitans, the Metropolitans, and the Netropolitans.
Right.
These are all my, this is what made me famous, by the way.
Of course.
That show was a disaster. It was me and Kaplan, then me and Craig Carton,
yeah.
Blaine Ensley, and eventually our buddy Pharrell took over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You talk about those nights when I would fill in for Pharrell or guest on Pharrell.
Sure.
And me, you, and what was the black kid's name?
Rasan.
Roscoe or something.
Roscoe.
Yeah, that guy.
Roscoe.
He would go out and hit like rooftop bars.
We went to 235th Avenue. That night, I remember that.
Begging for cocaine and liquor like 4 o'clock
well,
in the morning.
I wasn't doing that. I was
well, I was. And Luca never helped me. I'm like, there's no anybody in this city who's got... No, no.
No,
you
sorry.
You don't need that.
Straight,
no, I'm like, I do need it. And I want it.
We went out one night. And
no, more than one night. A couple of times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was great. It
yeah.
Was great. But we went to
235th. Lou drinks a lot.
We went to 235th Avenue, and I remember
I
coming in, and I'm thinking, because
yeah.
He came to do the show that night. He goes, come on, we're going to go out after the show. I'm like, all
by
right.
By the way, Tim Saban still owes me $400 for that show.
That's right. And
Tim,
I remember
pay
like
up,
not,
Tim.
I just came to work like a schlub. I had like jeans, like a, you know, like a collared T-shirt on with like the three button, you know, like a polo shirt, and like sneakers. And I went, Sid, I can't get into those days. He goes, don't worry about it. He walked right up to the bouncer. Goes, and he was like, oh, Sid, what's going on? Yeah, it's my boy Lou Pellegrino, the great one. He's going to come up and hang out. He's like, I'm like, and sure enough, we went. That's when everybody was wearing those freaking Snuggies
yep.
outside.
Yep.
Remember? Like,
yep.
they look
we
like the Emperor's
Guard. Times.
Yeah.
Every time I went out with you, I had a great time.
Oh, yeah.
He's fun. He's funny. He has a good time.
Yeah.
Lou, and you know, you listen to this podcast, you know, both of you guys are the same way. He's easygoing.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a dick bone on his body. Not even one.
Well, just below the waist. Just below the waist.
Yeah. I give the dick bones out. I don't take them.
Sid Rosenberg.
Great producer. Thank you. I enjoy coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
What time is Mafia going to be on?
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. Mafia's going to...
He's in tonight. He's with Pharrell tonight. Right.
He's playing the bed under us the whole time. Sid Rosenberg, thanks so much. Catch Sid Rosenberg on Twitter. Catch him on Instagram, at Sid Rosenberg.
I have a question for you before you get out of here.
He's gorgeous. Listen, let's get right to Kevin Burkhardt.
Absolutely.
Kevin Burkhardt's on the phone. Let's get to him right now. Louis.
God, that brings me back.
Louis.
Brings me back.
We're doing it here. This is the intro
greatest
music.
Greatest game ever.
Yep, and it
for
was.
Nintendo. It's Baseball Stars. Are you kidding?
And who do we know that used to do the play-by-play to this?
Oh, I believe it's our wonderful friend, Kevin Burkhardt, who joins us on the phone.
Kevin Burkhardt! What's up, Bubby?
Oh, man, that is the best game. I need to get that game somehow again. I need to get it in my house and play it. Well, I missed that game. That was the best game ever.
Don't they have the emulator coming out with like 155 games with that game on it?
I think they do, yeah.
I think they do, yeah. I don't have it. So as a gift for coming on the podcast, if you want to send it to me, that would be great.
You know what? Actually,
that's a good point.
That's a good point. We might have to do that. It's funny because Kevin was a guest on a podcast that I produce. And he brought up Baseball Stars. And as soon as he said that, my ears perked up, and I remembered going back to my teenage years of sitting at home on Saturday mornings because cartoons were kind of out of my league at that point. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm just going to play Baseball Stars. And you would create a team, and you would win money to build your team, and then you can go get a veteran player, a superstar player. And Kevin, it was awesome, and let me see if you still know the answers to these two questions, because when you're building a team, the game would give you a question, and it was, when isn't it? And the answer you had to pop in was?
Oh, boy. I don't remember that.
Yes, when you're building a team. So it was a shortcut. I was confirmed this with my best friend who used to play Baseball Stars with me, as you did with your friends and family members where you did the play-by-play. You would get a question, when isn't it? And the answer is, when it is. And the other question would be, what is a wren? And you would have to type in a bird. And what that would do is that would give you a supremely stacked team that was caliber to the American dreams.
Oh, that's right. See, unlike you, Lou, I wasn't a cheater. So I actually had to build a team from the ground up.
Hey, listen, I built the teams from the ground up, too. I used to pound on the lovely ladies every once in a while to just build up some cash, and then finally was able to buy that superstar player and then that veteran player, and then eventually we took out Ty Cobb, Willie Mays.
You take out the ladies and then the ninjas. Like, you think you should kill them, but then they're fast, and they beat out infield singles, and then somebody hits a grand slam, and the next thing you know, the controller gets thrown against the wall. That's what happens.
Yep. We went as far, and I know you said you used to do play-by-play. We never did play-by-play because my friends were just, like, you know, too lazy to do that. But we did have a boombox next to us. Yes, for those of you who grew up in the 80s and 90s, a nice boombox to listen to your rap music or whatever it was you were listening to. We used to have songs queued up.
Love it.
So if, like, my buddy hit a home run, he'd hit play, and, like, Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater Revival would play, and then he would shut it off as the guy hit home plate. So it
was
like,
amazing.
You know, like, because you could remember, like, at Shea Stadium, Kevin, Chris, you're both Met fans growing up. When a guy hit a home run, you'd hear, you know, like, the Gap Band, You Dropped a Bomb on Me, or you'd hear some sort of song, and we used to do that, and it was great.
Speaking of, Kevin's a huge fan of 90s rap, and I know you listen to SiriusXM in your car on the way to the studios. And,
backspin, baby.
Backspin, baby. What is your number one? You know, obviously, I'll screenshot something and send it to Kevin during the week. And, you know, sunshine and rain.
Oh, boy.
joy and pain.
What is the awesomest song that you love lately that you're vibing on?
Oh, wow. You know, believe it or not, I pulled out Third Base the other day out of the Spotify anthem. So I was listening just to a little Gas Face, a little of that. I never heard anybody. Scenario, Tribe Called Quest. But that always feels good to throw on there. That's the latest entries into Spotify for me.
God, one of the rap groups that I really enjoyed growing up was Das FX, and I just never thought they got enough love and play. Those guys were awesome.
There were so many of them, though, that, like, in that genre that were really unbelievable. And you go back and think, like, I'm sorry, but, like, it just doesn't compare to that era. Like, that was the best of all time. Like, the amount of great songs that came out, the old school hip hop. I mean, it's so good. It is so good.
It's better than House Party 2 or even House Party 3.
Listen, you can't go wrong with Kid and Play. You know, that was quality. It's funny, we go in when we do our show for FS1 Whip Round, the baseball show that I host. We have one of our audio guys got wind of me liking old school raps, and now when he works, usually later in the week, when we get in the studio, he plays it in the studio up until the show starts. It's the best ever, and he just mixes it together. It's like, I feel like I'm at a club. It's amazing.
Oh, that's so great. You know, one of the great things about working with Chris at SiriusXM for a couple of years, you get to see and meet some certain people. So when you're walking through the hallways and there's cool DJ Red Alert and you're thinking, oh my God, that's like the guy from the Rob Bass song, you know, and he's legendary, and everybody else who you meet in the hallway, the best was meeting Chuck D. And I was telling Chris beforehand, and his eyes popped out of his head, that Chuck D actually follows me on Twitter, if you can imagine
that. Come on, I don't believe that. Chuck, are you serious?
I swear to God, I'll shoot you a text of a picture of my, just like a screenshot. Chuck D follows me on Twitter, and every once in a while, I'll just shoot him a direct message or a text, and without fail, he responds, dude, I'm on the road, everything's great, hope you're well, we got to get together, all that stuff. Because I still do some, you know, producing, so I want to book him on certain things, this podcast being one of them, and I'm waiting for basketball season to start because he's just a huge, huge NBA guy. But yeah, I mean, you wake up one day and you see Mr. Chuck D follows me. I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing.
He had... I love him. I love P.E. P.E. was great. He's got the best voice. I mean, his voice is sick, you know? And I just, I don't know. You talk about boombox. I can't tell you how many times my friends and I would throw a P.E. tape. Yes, a tape, a cassette. I know people don't know what that is.
Love
in the boombox and roll on up to Franklin School to play like wiffle ball or stick ball back in the day. That was where it was at.
You were over there fighting the power.
Fight the power, you know, can't trust it, whatever you want to call it.
Love
it. You name it.
You know, and I'll tell you what, NWA, that first tape, we'll say, that was I know how I felt when I listened to Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses for the first time, and you sit there and you're just staring at your radio and you're thinking, oh my God, who created this and where does this sound come from, and this is the greatest thing I ever heard. And then you go over to the rap genre and then NWA comes out with what they put out and you're sitting there going, oh my God. So it was like Public Enemy, NWA, that was like my wheelhouse. And then all the other guys who came along after that, it was just one after, and like you said, one after another. And God, the early, late 80s, early 90s for rap was just absolutely insane. And then Vanilla Ice came and ruined it for everybody.
Yes. You know, my ringtone is Straight Outta Compton, actually.
Nice.
NWA. That's my ringtone on my phone. It's been for a number of years. Like, I mean, there's a Pete Rock and CL Smooth. I mean, they had a great album that I used to listen to all the time. I don't remember back then. I'm trying to think. There's so many of them. You could go down the list.
Yeah, Eric B. and Rakim were so great. I know they were one of the first, but Run DMC, to me, it still strikes a chord with me because I could hear the intro to Walk This Way and it's like, everybody shut up, we have to listen to this. I don't care how old it is, I don't care how played it is, I don't care. You hear that and it's like, you have to listen to it from start to finish.
I got to tell you, I went to a concert with my wife. I don't remember what year this was, but it was Run DMC. It was at the PNC Arts Center in Jersey when I lived on the East Coast. It was Run DMC and Kid Rock and Aerosmith. And the concert was unbelievable. And as you can imagine, they all three did Walk This Way together. And it was like the greatest concert song I've ever heard, ever. It was so, so good.
That's amazing. Speaking of, so that's the greatest thing you've ever seen. I think otherwise. I think the last few weeks for you, you've seen the craziest thing you've seen in a long time. And it has something to do with artificial intelligence, Kevin. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it does. Listen, I have never been in a hotel with robots before, and maybe there's more out there. Maybe the robots are like, you know, probing me while I sleep. I don't know. But, you know, this place, we're in Buffalo, and we're in a Westin. Westin hotels are nice, but they're, you know, they're not like top of the line necessarily, right? They're nice places to stay.
It's not the Ritz-Carlton.
If you're going to pick a place in America that's got a robot in the hotel, I would not have guessed the Westin Buffalo, just me. I would have taken another stab and saying, you know, the Four Seasons in Chicago or something like that, right? So this robot was the coolest. I was obsessed with the robot by the time. It was the greatest thing of all time. You would call down to the front desk, say, I forgot my toothbrush. Next thing you know, the robot's at your door delivering the toothbrush. So we, at one point, you know, we were there to do the Bills preseason game, our crew. So at one point, we got back, and we decided to follow the robot. So the robot, I don't know how they programmed it. It goes up to the elevator. Somehow, it tells the elevator to come down and open the door. Because we watched, like, no buttons were hit. It just automatically did it. And then it gets out, and it has, like, you know, we're walking with it, and it's programmed, like, not to hit anything. So we got too close. It would kind of go the other way. And it just meanders through the hall to whatever room it's going to. It's unbelievable. And then when you know, it gives you your item, and it asks you a question, and you have to, you know, are you happy with your stay or whatever? And you hit, like, yes, and it does, like, a little dance, and it gets very excited. It was... I wanted one very badly. Very badly.
What's the possibilities that comes into the Burkhardt household as of next week? Has it already been
0%.
Ordered? 0%.
0%. 0%. I don't think they have the one that goes down the stairs yet. Like, I have a lot of stairs in my house, and I think that would be problematic for the robot. But trust me, if I could find a way, I mean, that would be amazing.
We need to order
robot,
one.
Go get me some coffee. Go hook up Baseball Stars. I mean, the possibilities are really limitless.
Now, if they just had one on the set at Fox, you know, when you're doing the studio stuff during baseball season, that would be the playoffs. That would be immense, right? You know, guys like the Big Hurt would probably say, "Hey, listen, just go get me my what's that that supplement that he's selling?
Yeah.
He sells that supplement
Nugenics.
On TV.
Nugenics,
right. Go get me some Nugenics." And the robot comes back.
Oh yeah,
they really bust on the Big Hurt a lot for that.
He's the man.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
Because Kevin, when you guys are watching the game, you guys are just hanging out, watching the game, eating some food, and then busting on each other, right? Is that, you know, when you're off camera?
You mean like for the postseason stuff?
Yeah.
It's really pretty wild. Like, we're just hanging out. Like, so here I am watching a game with Big Hurt and A-Rod and Big Poppy. I'm like, you know, it's like, what's happening right now? Like, I'm just, you know, we're in a room and all, our whole group is there. You know, producers, directors, whatever. And we're just chilling out. And yeah, we're hanging, watching the game, busting chops. I mean, obviously through that we get some ideas for the post-game show because we're just kind of talking out loud, chilling. I mean, the only thing that we don't have is alcohol because that you can't really do that till after the show. So it's awesome. Like we just and at the World Series when we're on site, you know, we have like a trailer where we hang out and watch the game. So we turn the sound up and we just chill on the couch and it's wild. It's like, it's not really real life, I don't think.
So, Kev, not to talk your ear off about baseball. I know we could talk to you about baseball till the cows come home, but I just have two questions for you. So, question one, and I'll let you answer.
Yeah.
When you are standing there, and this video went viral, when you're standing there, and it's Pete Rose, I believe it's Frank Thomas, and maybe it was A-Rod, and they're just talking about what they do when they're in the batter's box, and they were talking about the mechanics of hitting. One, I give you a ton of credit because you got them talking about this, and then you managed to back out of the picture or out of the conversation and let these guys run wild. What is that like standing there? Because that, for me, is like a dream when you see guys who are at the top of their craft of hitting, and they're just talking about their thought process during an at-bat.
Well, you know, the story behind it, actually, I mean, I appreciate you giving me credit, but that had nothing to do with me. Like, the story behind that is, you know, we got done, I think, doing a pregame show. And, you know, they wanted to basically record just a little snippet that they could play during the game to promote the postgame show, right? So, you know, we do that stuff all the time. We try to do different stuff to make it creative so it's not just a boring little promo. So we got the guys together, and I don't know, like... I don't even remember how that started or they started talking hitting. So literally they just went and, you know, Pete got into it. And so it went from what was supposed to be a 30-second promo and they just kind of went and they rolled on the whole thing. They recorded the whole thing and then it turned into a social media phenomenon because they got done. It was whatever it was, 12 minutes. Like, oh my God, how do we use this? This is awesome. So it was not thought out. That was not instructed. That was literally, hey guys, let's grab a bat and, talk a little baseball for 20 seconds for the promo, and it turned into 12 minutes just on those guys talking baseball. It was pretty cool to watch.
It was the greatest thing. And now, last thing, and you've been around the Mets for a long time. You did some great work with SNY for many years, and I know a lot of Met fans were sad to see you go, but very happy for your success and where your career has gone. When Big Poppy opened up that champagne bottle and doused Keith Hernandez. Was that planned? I don't know. I never heard an answer to this. Was that planned? And how pissed was Max?
Keith was pissed. and because it I think it was planned like last second, like literally last second. Like one of our coordinating producer, who's awesome, Bardia Sureas, he's always like, he's always planning crazy shit and just fun. He's a, he wants to make people laugh.
So, it worked.
Yeah, kind of like, hey, Poppy, they snuck out a thing, like, Poppy, you know, spray Keith, you know, like, it wasn't, we didn't talk about it at all, because I didn't know it was happening. I really had no idea it was happening. Just all of a sudden, he pulls out the thing, and gets Keith, I mean, Keith wasn't mad afterwards, but at the time, he's like, what the hell?
Of course.
Dude? You know, when the show's over, walking back, he's like, Poppy, you know, and he laughed about it. But at the time, oh, dude, he was definitely pissed.
I just think it's amazing that you get to be with all these guys, and you're all big kids, and you're all just hanging out. And Big Poppy's the greatest thing that ever happened to that postseason thing besides yourself and A-Rod.
It's amazing.
It's just absolutely amazing. Last question for you, KB, because I know you got to run because you're a busy mofo. Number five, David Wright. We got to talk about David Wright. Obviously, yeah. You have amazing things to say about David. Share your greatest David Wright story for us, please.
You know, I don't have a specific game. I mean, look, he's obviously had a million big hits and big things. A specific game, anything like that. I'll just say this. Covered him for 8 years. I think he is as fine of a guy as you can ever run across. And the best thing, I actually kind of put something on Twitter about this. You know, 8 years, you know, when you're around a team and cover team, you ask guys a lot, all the time. You're talking to them all the time, you know, and you're not always talking to them for things that are going to be on the air, but, you know, you're around all the time. You're asking them for interviews on camera. Can you do this for me? Can you do, hey, what about this? So it's part of the job, and they know that. But, you know, some people are more helpful than others. In 8 years, there was one time when David Wright couldn't do what I needed him to do. He had some treatment on an injury that he was trying to fight through, and he told me it was going to be tight. And then he told me, like, right for a pregame show, he's like, hey, I can't do the interview. I'm sorry, you know. So no big deal, right? I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Totally get it. You know, next day, as soon as I see him in the clubhouse, comes up to me and apologizes for not being available for me. No joke. That's just unheard of. I mean, it's just unheard of. And that's who he is. That's who he was. So, look, I feel sorry that he's not able to really go out the way he wants, even though he's going to get, you know, his last hurrah here, because I respect him so much. Obviously, he's made good money in the game. But I just think as a role model, as a, you know, he has rewritten a lot of the Mets record book, obviously. But I think, you know, if you're going to have somebody to, you know, wear a jersey down the road, it would be his, because of the kind of guy he was and the leader he was in that clubhouse. So that's what I would say about David.
Yeah, I saw one of the former Met beat writers put a tweet out and said something very similar to you, where, you know, he said that David was just otherworldly when it came to other people and other people's feelings. When this writer got let go from the Daily News, he said he received a phone call from David Wright, you know, just saying, hey, keep at it, you know, sorry that you lost your job, you know, other opportunities will be there for you. And in the tweet, the writer says, he did not have my phone number, which means David Wright went to Jay Horowitz, got the phone number, called this guy. I mean, that's a true professional, as Tom Seaver used to say about guys, a pro's pro. And yeah, you're right. It sucks that he's going out this way. I wish he could go out on his terms, but you know what? He gave the Met fans a lot of thrills, and taking that mantle from guys like Piazza, Beltran, Delgado, and running with it, I mean, you know, he's been a super Met and one of the only Mets, if not the only Met, who can say, I played my entire career for one franchise.
Exactly. Oh, baseball, so I need to start building the team, guys. I got to go. I got to get that team back to where it was.
Kevin Burkhardt, thanks so much, Kevin Burkhardt. We really appreciate you.
Okay.
We love you. We got
it's
Sid.
Sydney, I love you.
Sid Rosenberg just walked in and said hello.
Sid, says, what's up, baby?
He said, what's up, baby?
Nobody looks better in a blue tie than Kevin Burkhardt in Channel 5 in New York. You look great. I love you.
I miss you, bud.
There you go. Kevin, thanks so much for coming on, man. We'll catch you on social media at Kevin Burkhardt. We'll watch you on baseball, and you're doing things for, like, are you still doing that thing for the History Channel where you're in the middle of the woods talking about things?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to sum it up, Libertini. But yeah, that's essentially yes. I'm in the middle of the woods talking about things.
Listen,
right.
and he's beautiful, so who can't pay attention to this guy? He's amazing.
Oh, my God. Right,
Kevin,
Bosh,
come east soon, buddy. Come east real soon. We all have to get together.
Cocktails. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. You got it, brother. Have a great time. We'll talk to you soon, Kev.
See you, boys.
Bye, Kevin.
Kevin Burkhardt's amazing.
I love it. I miss him so much on SNY. Mm-hmm. It's nice that I get to hear him call football games, mm-hmm. and also do stuff in studio for the MLB playoffs. But, you know, we were really spoiled as Met fans.
We really were.
He was just so good, and I remember thinking, this guy is going to take Gary Cohen's job when Gary retires. Mm-hmm. And he may, you never know.
Yep.
You never know if Kevin decides that he wants to come home. But on the national level, the guy is the perfect fit for both the roles he has.
Between me and you and anybody else listening to this podcast, the millions of
and
people,
millions
listening to this podcast.
We stole that from The Rock.
Thank you very much.
The millions.
Dwayne Johnson checks in the mail. He's very happy living in the West Coast.
Oh, I'm sure.
The man, he lives in a palatial estate.
No robots. Not yet.
Not today. But he goes up to the top floor and he looks at the sunset every night and he does his work and he's one of the hardest working men in show business and he's a sweetheart and people see it right away.
Yeah.
They see it right away. They're like,
I met him through you.
Yeah.
I met him through you. We went and had a couple of beers after one of his shifts at SNY.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the offseason. I don't think the Mets were there. He might have been doing some, like, you
he
know.
He did the winter meeting
Mets
thing.
Winter meetings or Mets inside pitch type of stuff, whatever, you know. And I met him once. And since that day, anything, and I don't ask him for anything, but if he does something really well, I'll shoot him a direct message on Twitter or I'll shoot him a text and he always responds, Lou, thanks so much. Lou, great to hear from you. And you know what? I don't like to bother people, but I do feel that when they do something that's amazing and credit is due, I like to at least reach out to the people that I know and say, dude, I watched that and that was fantastic. And that's why I had to bring up that little, you know, 20-minute piece that the Big Hurt, A-Rod, and Pete Rose were talking when they were breaking down hitting. And mm-hmm. I didn't know. I just thought this was like, you know, something that Kevin stumbled on and he could not take credit for it. But that's Kevin.
That's
I can't
Kevin.
Take credit for that,
right.
Lou. You know,
because he kills it all the time. He's a sexy guy. He dresses fantastically.
Yep.
You know, he's just a great dude. So that's Kevin Burkhardt.
And he has the job that we all want.
That's a good point.
He does. And I'm so, like I said, happy and proud of him. I'm so jealous that he gets to do what he does because it's an amazing, amazing, amazing job.
Literally, I was talking to him the other day, and he's over A-Rod's house chilling with Jennifer Lopez, watching A-Rod on TV, hanging out. And they're like buds. I mean, listen, you grow up, you're like, oh, I wonder what it would be like to hang out with, you know, sports stars, MLB baseball players,
it's overrated.
Football players.
It happens.
Of course it's overrated, but at the same point, when you take somebody as cool as Kevin is and as nice as Kevin is, people see the genuine way that he is,
mm-hmm.
and they're literally his friends. This has been an insane podcast. We've gotten Sid Rosenberg. We've talked Bert and Ernie. We talked sports stars. We talked with Kevin Burkhardt.
Baseball stars.
Baseball
get it
stars.
Right.
Ah.
Get it right.
We talked baseball stars with Kevin Burkhardt. And we talked Drake.
Of course. Hey, that was a full day's work.
I'm exhausted.
In about 27 minutes.
I'm exhausted.
No, I'm
Think
kidding.
About how these people listening, they don't see all the stuff that goes into it.
Oh, I know.
They're just sitting there listening to the podcast going, these guys are batshit nuts.
Gee, that really looked easy.
Right,
it's not.
Exactly. It's not easy.
It's not easy. Well, we make it look easy because we're good at it.
Oh, listen. Lou is very, very humble. I'm right there with Lou.
Very modest. Very,
very
modest.
Very humble.
I'm modest.
Lou, it's a pleasure doing this with you.
Absolutely, pal.
And we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and find us on Instagram @popculturemeltdown. If you like the show, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Catch Sid Rosenberg every weekday morning on Bernie and Sid in the Morning on 77 WABC and on Sid Sports Sunday every Sunday at 8 a.m. Follow on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SidRosenberg. Watch Kevin Burkhardt on Whip Around on FS1, Fox NFL Sunday, and MLB on Fox post season pre and post game shows. Follow Kevin on Twitter and on Instagram @KevinBurkhardt. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to DanKellyVO.com. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte, our graphic designer Ricky Soto, Tim Einkel with OG, and of course the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudsky. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown with your hosts, Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.